When it comes to matters of the heart, it really is an issue when it comes to the gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in Romans chapter 2 today, a message called Circumcision of the Heart. And it's the Apostle Paul laying out for us the fact that if we want to rely on good works, we need to be perfect in every single one of those works every single day. If not, well, then we fail. And then circumcision, as he says, means absolutely nothing. You see, it's got to be circumcision of the heart. For all of the details as we continue our journey through Romans, once again, here's Pastor Chris now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
The act of circumcision would profit you if you are a complete doer of the law. If you fulfill all righteousness, this would help in that fulfilling of all righteousness for you. But, another big but, if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Now you have to ask for a moment and pause, well, what is circumcision? Remember, God had given circumcision to Abraham, and it included his children. Paul is going to go on to define this for us, and I don't want to get too far ahead tonight. But Paul's going to tell us in Romans 4 that circumcision is what? Is a sign and a seal of the righteousness that comes by faith. That was its intention. That's what it was in the Abrahamic, for Abraham. And he makes this whole great, beautiful exposition in Romans 4 that the beautiful thing about this was Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then he was circumcised. And that was done to show everyone that it wasn't the act of circumcision that justified him. It confirmed. It's only a sign. It's only a seal. That's what Paul says there. Now the Jews aren't looking at it that way. The Jews are looking at circumcision under Moses. And it's a really important distinction because they didn't see, which is Paul's driving point here, as with Galatians, that the law was added for transgressions. They didn't see their sin. So chapter 3 is going to stop the mouth of everyone in their own righteousness. And the law declared, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law to do it and live. Paul is looking at what the Jews believed was the great work of the law fulfilled by them. Do you know what they thought was the greatest work of the law to be fulfilled and to fulfill righteousness? Circumcision. That sealed the deal. And Paul says, okay, if you want to do that, I'll present a hypothetical. If you want to make circumcision, it's not what it is, but if you want to make it into something that you want to trust for to produce your own righteousness before God, then it will be a benefit to you if you keep everything. But if you're a covenant breaker and you break the law of Moses, you have no circumcision. Wow. Now, this comes down to a basic way of how we read the Bible, doesn't it, tonight? I skipped a few Psalms, and one of you said to me this morning, well, Pastor, you've dodged about 10 Psalms. I agree. I feel bad about that. So you know what? Turn back to Psalm 14. That's after Psalm 13. If you see Psalm 14, I want you to notice what Paul does there. Not Paul, excuse me. I've got Paul in my mind. Paul didn't exist at that point. In Psalm 14, Psalm 14 describes the Romans 1 people. And what are they saying about God? They're saying, oh, God doesn't even exist. And these are the people of Romans 1 who suppress the truth in unrighteousness because what they see with God should be manifest, but they suppress it. They deny the existence of God. And you know what happens in Psalm 14? Paul sees this. Paul sees this because what's now quoted in Psalm 14 is directly what we find in Romans chapter 3. And Paul plasters it in Romans chapter 3. Same thing we find in Romans 14. There's none, verse 3, who does good. No, not one. There's none. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there's any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There's none who does good, no, not even one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat up bread and do not call upon the Lord? Now, imagine a Jew reading Psalm 14. He stands back from Psalm 14 and he says, "Ah, those infidels. They don't even acknowledge God. Fools. They don't call out to the Lord. We do. We're of the circumcision." And you know what? We really fit Psalm 15. Why don't you look at Psalm 15? "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart." Notice emphasis on heart. I'll get there. "Who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Now you have two choices with that psalm tonight. I could say, not those Psalm 14 people. They refuse to acknowledge God. I'm of the circumcision. Psalm 15 describes me. So circumcision itself achieved it in their view. But what the Jews refuse to see in Psalm 14 is, and I'm just doing the same thing that Paul is doing between Romans 2 and 3 here. What the Jews refused to see in Psalm 14 was the little phrase, "No one. No one does good." Now, I want you to read Psalm 15 again. Not a suggestion. If you walk blamelessly, speak truth, never slander, never do evil to your neighbor, fear the Lord, never swear, never hurt the innocent, you'll never be moved in your life. Imagine God saying to them, "Dear Jew, you've overlooked Psalm 14. You're in that mix. And now you didn't see that what Psalm 14 declares is you need a Savior." So circumcision is not profiting you. You know why, dear Jew? Because you don't see your sin. And you're breaking the law left and right. And because of that, you're in big trouble. Listen, do you know this is the single great message that got Jesus killed? He stripped them of their righteousness. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the weight of John 7, but do you know what Jesus said right to the Jews? "Did not Moses give you the law? None of you keeps it." That's a verse you could read right over. Not one of you keeps the law. Now, do you see how important this is tonight? We just dealt with a whole movement in the reform world called the Federal Vision Movement. And they essentially did this to baptism. That's why the concern was there. They did this to the act of baptism. They said, as we heard them, the sign of baptism itself washes away your sins, the act of it. And we said, you can't say that. If you say that, you know, what are you doing? You're putting people back under the law because you've turned baptism into a work of your hands. It's merely a sign, we said. Our confessions have always said it's merely a sign of the washing of water that speaks to the washing away of our sins spiritually by Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit. We don't produce that. Only Christ's blood and the Spirit produce that. And that's only received, Heidelberg 21, by what? Faith. Baptism's not the instrument to receive that. Faith alone is the instrument to receive that. And if you say anything else, now you're obligating yourself to the whole law. So Paul's whole point tonight, you see how we can slip into this. Paul's whole point tonight is to say circumcision or uncircumcision has no bearing on somebody's right standing before God. Because if the Jew had the ability to keep, if the Gentile had the ability to keep all of the law, his would be counted as circumcision. You see? Your baptism doesn't save. Now, this is all very important tonight because of the consequences of this kind of religion. And that's where I want to go with this just in closing here for a minute. The consequences, the religion of the Pharisees, self-righteousness, self-made justification before God. It's in all of us. We'll slip back into it quicker than you would ever dream. You ever seen what that looks like? One of the things that shocked me up north, in a town where there were 16 Reformed churches and a population of 13,000, the hatred that came out for the name Reformed in that town. Now, some of that, was because people were had to take a stand on certain things, on the truth, and people just didn't want to be that anymore. But I have to confess, one of the things that I learned up there is that many people hated the name Reformed because they were tired. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm saying they were tired of the fighting. They were tired of the splits. They were tired of the abuses. That's wrong. They were tired of the hatreds. They were tired of the contentions. They were tired of the jealousies. Some of which was undergirded by a hard kind of use of the law to beat people into conformity. It was ugly. It was ugly. There wasn't joy. You know the best we can do under the law? We can create one of the most hypocritical situations ever. You realize that? We can create under the law one of the best hypocritical situations ever. And that's what Romans 2 is showing us. If we thought we could achieve righteousness merely through outward conformity, what would happen to us? What would it look like? Just what Hodge said. Whenever true religion declines, the disposition to lay undue stress on the externals comes about. It was this kind of stuff that made our Lord say to Israel, "Woe to you! I am sick of the multitude of your sacrifices. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls." You think about this, is the Lord saying this? Of lambs or of goats. "When you come to appear before me, who's required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moons and Sabbaths and the calling of convocations. I can endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them." Why would God say that? Because none of it came with a circumcised heart. Now, God was burdened because they were so concerned to get it all outwardly right. And they forgot about the heart. Now, I'm saying tonight, I'm not saying that in a good way, by the way. I'm not saying, just look at the heart. Here's the shocking thing about Romans 2. You know what Paul says? The greatest problem is not external. This is what he's saying here. The greatest problem is not external under the law. The greatest problem is God is looking at your hearts right now. That's the problem under the law. And that's what he says in verse 28. "For one is a Jew who is merely..." No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. I don't believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. He He says his praise is not from man, but from God. Here's what I believe he's saying. God will acknowledge the true Jew. A true Jew is not determined by outward circumcision. A true Christian is not determined by outward baptism. A true Jew who has circumcision, that is a matter of the heart. So you circumcised Jews are confident in praise of men and outwardly keeping the law. But guess what? You don't even come close outwardly. But in reality, you've got to have an inward circumcision. And I mean a pure heart and a pure spirit. And if you have that, guess what? God will praise you. He hasn't gotten to the gospel yet. He hasn't gotten to anything else good news yet. See, now you understand what Jesus was saying to the community when he said, look, don't give your prayers for everyone to see. Go in the closet, and when you close the door, you'll get praise from God. What was he saying is, God is really concerned about your hearts and your pure intentions. And if you demonstrate purity in your heart and going in your closet and closing the door so no one sees you, he'll praise you. He's looking under the law. Now, what's the problem? Well, if you flip over to Romans 3, the first thing he's going to say when he quotes Psalm 14 is, no one's righteous. And you know that throat? Not lips, deep here. It's a tomb. God's looking there. If we could achieve purity on the inside, we would be pure Jews. We'd be true Jews. What was Jesus' indictment about the heart, beloved? He looked at the community and he said, you are those who justify you yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. And people say this all the time. Oh, you know, God just looks at our hearts. That's all that matters. And I say, bad thing. Bad thing. Oh, God looks at our hearts. And you know what he sees? He doesn't see anything good there. And we are so good at desperately trying to achieve an outward righteousness. And that's the best we can do. And Paul just swung the bat and said, wait a minute. That's not your great problem. A true Jew has to have a pure spirit and heart. And God's looking. Now, the Jews should have known this from the Scriptures, beloved. What does Psalm 24 say? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's the backdrop to Matthew 15, by the way. Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus one day. Why do they transgress the tradition of elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. What did Jesus do? Two things. He attacked the outward hypocrisy. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. They were using their filthy hands to steal money, weren't they? And not help their parents. But then where did Jesus take it? He went right to the heart. And he said, when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. That's Romans 3, throat is an open tomb. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And to seal it up, you know why Jesus said, you are all like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Now, you see what Paul just did? If your hands are pure and your hearts are pure, you'll be a true Jew. Problem, no one's a true Jew. And that's his point in Romans 3. Who may ascend in the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who's the true Jew? Only one. And his name is Jesus. And that's what Paul's ready to talk a whole lot about. Somebody who has not just outward perfect law keeping, but an inward pure righteous heart. And he says that is the righteousness God is revealing to the ends of the earth that is received by faith doesn't come from you. And this message was all over the Old Testament when the Lord would stand to Israel and say, listen, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts. Did Israel do that? You can't circumcise your hearts. And the Lord said, and the gospel promise, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. You know how beautiful it was when Jesus one day looked at Nicodemus, Pharisee, trusting in his own pure righteousness. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Well, how do I go get in a womb? Where's one big enough I can go get in? No. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. And you know what? You can't create that. Holy Spirit does that. He creates a clean heart. He gives life to a black heart. And when you believe in the Son, whoever believes in Him, they're not going to perish. But they're going to have everlasting life. Because God supplies what they need. What an amazing gospel tonight. Are you getting ready for what's to come? I mean, how wonderful this is going to be when we plow through the good news. We had to walk this, don't we? Never take your eyes off Jesus. He's the pure one with a pure life that God accepts. And all who receive that by faith will live. Amen. O Lord our God, what do we say tonight in response but thank you? That you would care to rip open our hearts and say, I see everything going on there. It's darkness and black. And how you would break us free from being under the law for condemnation, imputing the righteousness of Jesus so that we can live in the joy of this comfort. How free this is. Receive our thanksgiving tonight. And let this be a place where the joy of Christ and the ministry of righteousness prevails. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Chris and an exciting announcement about an upcoming conference being held at Escondido URC that Pastor Chris is a part of. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments about the program today, we would invite you to reach out to us. Now, there are several ways that you can do so. You can visit our website, agradio.org. It's there that you will also find links to some of the other platforms that we are on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, that's agradio.org. Past programs can be found there as we archive all of our broadcasts at that website. If you have other questions or concerns, maybe you'd like to partner with us financially, reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. As promised, now once again, here's Pastor Chris with an exciting announcement about an upcoming regional Ligonier conference hosted at the URC Church in Escondido. Chris?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. They have been, that was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11, The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled, The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed, looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And then come back and join us again next time as our studies in the Word of God will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.